Good morning. We've been talking the past few weeks about oino when it comes to buying business halacha or other svarim on chayshin mishpat. But this morning, I'm just happy to announce we have a sefer from Rav Chaim Kohn on Hilchos Oino. It's for sale afterwards if anyone wants to buy it. It's $18. It is the sefer on Hilchos Oino, and I can assure you there's no oino involved. It's well worth the price. Anyone who wants to be ma'ayin a little bit more, it's an excellent sefer. Now next week, in Ritz Hashem, we're going to have the stos of having Rav Chaim Kohn. He's coming. He's going to be giving the shir next week. It'll be the last of the series on Hilchos Oino. And after that, we're going to break until after the Yom Tovim. So anyone who can make it, it's a special treat. Rav Chaim Kohn is going to give the shir next week. Now, a few weeks ago, someone came over to me and asked me a shaila about Hilchos Oino. And the shaila was by far the strangest shaila I've ever heard. He was convinced he had this one brilliant business model. He asked me not to talk about it and tell anyone. He didn't want anyone to copy it. But a couple of days ago, he told me that the idea fell through. I can talk about it now. So I'd like to share the shaila with the Olam and see what everyone has to say. The gentleman that approached me happened to be a hedge fund manager. And he came over and he said he has a shaila in Chayshin Mishpat. He has a business idea. He doesn't want to hear anything about the hashkafa, whether it's right or wrong for me. He wants to know, Chayshin Mishpat, is it asr or is it mutter? Now when you get that sort of introduction, you know you're in for some trouble. Which Taka was. But this is the question. Olam Haba, everyone knows, is a wonderful thing. Right? Even the smallest share of Olam Haba, every yid has some sort of share. And even the smallest share of the biggest Rasha still is something that has a tremendous value. Now, unfortunately, there are people, and there are Nebuch, there are many yidin, who don't appreciate that value. So what this person decided to do is he was going to go over to a fry yid and tell him, listen, I'll give you $300, sell me your chedek and Olam Haba. He would then, they do the deal, he'd pay the money, get a shtar. He would then turn around, find a frum yid, who has a little bit more of an appreciation, and he would sell that same share in Olam Haba for $1,000. A little arbitrage. So I wanted to know, al pi halacha, is this asr or mutter to do this? So, what I told him is, L'choira, you have a problem from our sugya. We've been learning Hilchos Oino. If someone walks into a store and you rip him off, you charge him too much for the goods, if it's a sixth or more above its value, you're over an Isser Oino. The same way there's Oino by a Moicher, if you sell it for too much, there's also Oino on a Lekeach. If you pay less than the value of the goods, the item is worth $1,000 and you pay $300 for it, there's an Isser Oino. You've ripped off the seller. So the Chayr over here, since he knows that his Chedek Olam Haba is worth more than the $300, he's being Ma'ana, he's being an Isser Oino on the seller. What? Okay, good. Look at that to the PM. Okay, good. We'll get. So the person's response was, okay, that may be true. But, as we've been learning the past 2 weeks, there are exceptions to Oino. The Gemara says, if you sell karka, there's no Oino. Now this person was apparently assuming Olam Haba is the epis, you're a chelek Olam Haba, means you're buying real estate in Olam Haba. So it's karka. Karka has no Oino. Now, besides for the fact that that's just not what Olam Haba is, but there are two halakhic problems with this approach as well. First of all, as we pointed out last week, even if karka doesn't have Oino, according to many Rishonim, that just means there's no recourse. If you buy karka and you overpay, you can't ask for your money back. However, according to many Rishonim, the Isser applies. You're over an Isser, there's just no recourse. So if that's the case, and if you pay someone $300 for his karka, it's worth more. He has no recourse. The sale will stand, but you're over an Isser. Besides, but there's a more basic problem. We learned this morning in the Gemara in Bava Metzia that the Gemara declares, even though there's no Oino, That means if you overcharge someone by a sixth, normally by Einoah you get a refund, that doesn't apply by Karka. However, the Gemara declares, perhaps Bittul Mecher there is. If you charge, either according to Rashi, more than a sixth, or the way Tosis learns, if you charge double its value, even by Karka, Tosis says, you'll have the right to undo the deal. So since $300 is less than half of the value of the Olam Haba, even if you'll assume it has a din of Karka, it'll be Kefil, and it'll have recourse. Now the truth is that the Gemara brings down as a shaila by Karka, even though there's no way, no, what about Bittul Mecher? What happens if you're charging double? The Gemara doesn't really give Achra. And if you look in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber doesn't bring this down at all. The Mechaber seems to paskin that even by Karka, the Rambam's case is you rent out a palace for a dinner per year, which is clearly it's less than Kepo, it's less than half of its value. The Mechaber says it makes no difference. Karka has no Oinoa whatsoever. The Ramah is Mesufah. The Ramah brings down Yeshayimrim that one, either Karka, even though there's no Oinoa, if you charge more than double, there is Bittul Mecher. And it's a Shailan Halat, it's a Sekhid Dedina. So what do you do Halach L'maisa? So Halach L'maisa will come out, it'll depend. Let's say you have a property that's worth $100,000. And you sell it for $300,000. The buyer pays the seller, there's a closing, and he moves on to the property. The next day he realizes he was ripped off, he comes, he wants to undo the deal. So he comes, and he says, I want my money back. The seller says, nothing doing. Even though I ripped you off, even though it's worth $100, I charge you $300. But it's Karka. Karka has no way no. The buyer will respond, but okay, there's no way no. But here it's more than double. Bittul Mecher there is. But now the seller can say, not so fast. It's a machlokes whether there is a no when more than double. Since there's no clear hachra, hamoitzi mechaber avaraya. I'm holding on to the money. I am not going to give you a refund since you can't prove that the halacha is as I know. And the Meicher is going to win. What about the opposite case? What happens if you sell a property, the property is worth $300,000, and the buyer only pays $100,000, so he ripped off the seller. So what happens after the closing if the seller comes to him and says, I want it back? So again, it's a Seka Tadina. What do we do in a Seka Tadina when the seller wants the property back? So over here, the Ma'arit says, Karka, there's no such thing as Tfisa. Karka, whenever we have a suffix, what do? It goes to the Marikama. It goes to the last known owner. Since yesterday it belonged to the seller, now he sold it, we have a suffix whether this Mechira is a good Mechira. The Karka will revert back to him. And therefore the seller will end up keeping the land, will get the land back, and he'll refund the money. There's no Muchzik by Karka. No, because if the buyer wants to back out, the buyer is asking for the money back. When he's demanding the money back, you can't force the seller to refund the money. He's a muchzik on that. When the seller wants to back out, he's asking for the property. On the property, he's the marikama, so he'll win. So, going back to our friend's business venture, it'll come out. It depends whether he bought the chedek olam haba that he bought belonged to a Sephardi or an Ashkenazi. Because if it belongs to a Sephardi, the mechaber paskins even by more than kefil, there's no way no, and the sale would stand. The seller would not be able to back out. By she'en kein, if it belonged, he did this deal with an Ashkenazi who follows the Ramah. The Ramah paskin there was a sacred Adina, and since a person would be a muchzik on his olam haba, he would be able to back out of the deal, and he would still have his chelik.
Even with the Sephardi,
no, because this is actually an old child in Dini Mamunus. What happens is the din Torah between an Ashkenazi and a Sephardi. So the Sephardi, who is the moicher, the issue is like this: the buyer is very happy to keep the deal. The Isser could be over regardless. So now it's a question of, can the seller, who's the Muchzik, say Kimli? Since the seller is a Sephardi, and based on his Kloli Hayra, there is no Machloikis, it's clear that Allah is, there is no Bittul Mecher, even by Karka. So he has no claim. If he has no claim, then...
So he's the Tavishmai?
If he has a kim, hi the rabbi. He's a muchzik on the money. He doesn't have to give back the money. And he's, if, as far as he's concerned, if the moicher does is not teveid, he can keep it. What will happen in olam haba? Again, I guess we'll find out when we get there. So it comes out according to the Maritz, if the seller is an Ashkenazi, if it's Yosef Mekefel, it's a Sveka Dedina, and you wouldn't be able to be Moisi. And this Maritz is not Lekoy Alma and Kali Tzis and Nesivus Simon and Oyskav Hey argues, but this is the Shita's Maritz. Okay, so let's put, but regardless, as we pointed out before, clearly Olam Haba is not Karka, so this whole argument doesn't really apply. L'chayra, there should be Oyna, and we'll get back to this a little bit later in this year. Okay, good. That's what we'll get back to. Yeah, you'll have another problem. What kind of kinyan do you make? That's a valid question. Okay, so let's move on. The Gemara of the Mishnah says another exception to Oyna. And that is, Karka doesn't have Oyna because it's the Dabar Nikam Yad Yad. The other exception is Avodim. If you sell a slave, there's no Oyna. Now, today we don't have much of a slave market, so it seems that there's not so hard Negea Lachal Maisa. But the Rambam says this is very Negea. Why? Because of the Rambam, every poyo, every time you hire a worker to do a job for you, he's your slave. Now, he's not a slave, he doesn't have a din of an Eved Kanani, or he doesn't have Mutter B'Shivcha, but it's Doima to a slave. I think all the employees can relate to this. And therefore, Zok the Rambam, the same way when you sell a slave, there's no Oyna. When you hire a worker, there's no Oyna. So you hire someone to do a job, and the price that he quotes is either above the market value, below the market value. The halacha is, once he does the job, there's absolutely no recourse. It's just like karka. Perhaps the isser was done, but you can't demand a refund. The deal is a deal, and no one can back out. Now the Rambam makes a very interesting distinction. Why are we saying that when you hire a worker, there's no Oyna? Because a worker is like a slave. Zog the Rambam, there are two kinds of workers. When you hire someone, he works for you 9 to 5. That's in halacha called a poyel. He sold his time. For these hours, you own him. He's meshuvah to you, you tell him what to do, he's like your slave, no Oyna. Masha'enke in Zog the Rambam, what happens if you hire a kavlan? An independent contractor. You hire him to do a job for you. Now a contractor does the job whenever he wants. You haven't bought his time. You're giving him this amount of money, and he's going to provide a certain service to you. How he does the service, when he does the service, that's up to him. In that case, Zok the Rambam, that's not an Eved. He hasn't sold himself, and therefore the Rambam says a Kablan will have Oyna. So we're going to have to look at each worker and figure out what he is. If you hire someone to paint your car, so you're paying him for the job. X amount of dollars, he does the job. So how he does it, when he does it, that's up to him. That has a din of a kapla. However, if you hire someone, he comes to you, you hire someone, a babysitter, you hire someone to tutor, where there's a specific time where he comes, and during this time he's working for you. There, since he sold his time, the halacha is that's a kavlan. According to Rambam, there will be oyna. Oh, sorry, you're right. In that case, it's a poyel, and it will not be oyna. Now, let's go back to the case of a kavlan. You hire someone to paint your car, and there's oyna. Now, normally, what happens by oyna? If he overcharges by exactly a sixth, what's the halacha? The halacha is exactly a sixth. The sale stands. You refund the difference. What happens if it's more than a sixth? It's a mecher. The whole deal is off. You get back your money. You give back the item. So now, what happens? You hire the person to paint your car, and he ripped you off. But the car is already painted. Now he realizes, I know. You come back to him. You say, I know. It's you more than a shtus. So what's the halacha? Bitul mecher. How do you do bitul mecher if he already did the job? So here the halacha is, by oyna, by a worker, if the job was done, even after the fact, the halacha is, you'll always just refund the difference. Even though in theory, conceptually, you should undo the deal. But once you undo the deal, you still have the work, you have to pay for the work, and therefore you'll just give back the difference. What will come out then is a very interesting halacha. Let's say you have a job, which there's a range. Some people charge $300 for it, some people charge $400. And we'll go with the Aruch HaShulchan, that both numbers are legitimate. This poil, this worker decides to be, or he's a cowboy, decides to take advantage of the employer, and he charges him $500 for the work. So what's the halacha? The halacha is if you charge $500 and it's a cowboy, there's I know, there's Bittul Mecher. Now that it's Bittul Mecher, we have to undo the deal. How much does he pay back? So over here, the halacha is, the psika is batal. It's like he didn't hire him. If someone works without making up how much he's going to pay, so even if there's a range in the market, some people charge $300, some people charge $400, the halacha is, if you don't make up, you get paid kepachas shebapoilim. You get the lowest amount. And therefore, in this case, even though this person may normally charge $400, in this case, since there was a no and the deal is off, the employer will only have to pay him kepachas shebapoilim, will only have to pay him $300, the minimum that he could get this work done for. Excuse me? Probably. If you didn't know about the Oinoa, probably not. So that's the halacha by Poyolim. Now there is one important exception. And that is, even though a kabbalah in the Rambam paskins there is Oinoa, if you hire someone to do a job, you're not paying by the hour, there is Oinoa. What happens if you hire someone to paint your house? And you're paying him a flat amount. Now technically that's a kabbalah. You're not paying him by the hour, you're paying him for the job. There should be Oinoa. However, over here, the halacha is, he's a kablin of karka. Since he's painting your house is karka. And in the same way, if you sell karka, there's no oinah. A kablin who's working to improve the land also has no oinah. And therefore, since he's working on the land, even though he's working as a kablin, the halacha will be, there will not be a tainus oinah. Again, the isra may still apply, but the recourse you won't have. Now the Shulchan Aruch then has a case where you hired a worker, you hired him to drive you around, a car service. Drives you around the whole day, he charges you, and afterwards the person realized that he was taken for a ride. No pun intended. So he went back to the taxi driver and said, it's like, no, the going rate is supposed to be $200 a day, you charge me $300, I want my money back. Now, when you hire someone to drive you for a day, is that a poil or a kavlan? You're hiring him by the hour. You're paying him for the day. In that case, he's a poil. A poil doesn't have oinah. However, you're really doing two things. You're not just hiring a driver. You're also renting the car. He brought a car. You're using his car for the day. So what do you do? How do you deal with a case where I'm doing two things? I'm hiring a worker that's not subject to oinah, and I'm renting a car that is subject to oinah. I don't care whose it is, but he is part of what I'm paying him is to provide me with the use of a car. That means for my money, I'm getting a person, and I'm also getting the use of a car. Zakut, so the true suggestion says, what do we do? Do we say, so the taxi driver is going to say, you know what, the real price is $200. Let's say $100 for me, $100 for the car. I charge you $300. What I did is, I charge you $200 for my services, and $100 for the car. Since the oinah is all on my services, poil has no oinah, you don't get your money back. Now the employer says, not so fast. Maybe what I pay you, I paid $100, that's the fair price. You charge me $200 for the car. You charge me $200 for the car, you rip me off on the car, that there is oinah. I do get a refund. So what do you do? Zakut Shumas Hadash, and what you do is you prorate it. You figure out how much the normal ratio between the cost of the person and the cost of the car, and you presume, you just extend that ratio. So if it's normally 50-50, you take the $300, you say $150 was for the person, $150 for the car, and it's added to a $50 refund. You look at the normal ratio, you'll keep it the same. Now the Bach does point out that you can only do this when there's a market for the two. You can rent a driver without a car, you can rent a car without a driver, you can rent them together. So then it makes sense to do these proportions. On the other hand, if you're doing something and there's no market to do one without the other, you're not going to be able to break it up, and then you're just going to go with what the ikar, what the main mecher is. But in a case where there are two real components, you'll split the bill, and that's how you'll work it. So for example, if you buy a house, and the person sells the house with all, you know, it's an estate sale. He's selling it with everything that's in the house. And there's oino. So on the house itself, the house is karka. There's no oino. On the contents, whatever's inside, much of that will be metalton and will have oino. You'll have to prorate how much was paid for the metalton, how much was paid for the karka, and figure it out.
If you rent a front loader, and you found that there is no market for front loader drivers to drive my front loader, I don't have a front loader.
Mm-hmm. If there is no market, you'll just go with the, you know, whatever the. Yeah, if there is no developed market. Now the Gemara then continues and says another exception to oino, and that is shtaris. If you buy or sell notes, you buy debt. There, even though you're buying the note, people say you buy the note, but when you're paying for a note, you're not paying for the piece of paper. You're paying for the ability to collect the debt. So the Gemara says that is not subject to oino. And therefore, even if you charge him too much, too little, the sale will stand, there will be no tainus oino. According to most of the zaktsais that we saw in the Pesach Tshuva that says that by milval, it applies only when you're buying a shtar, and milval peh will not have this halacha. Most achronim seem to argue, and they seem to say that any time you buy debt, since debt is something that's not tangible, it's not something that's not guf mamoin, therefore, it will not be subject to oino. Now based on this, there's a Mabit that has a case where a person bought goods on credit. The goods usually cost $50 and he was charged $60. Sounds like I know. But Zakhna Mabit, not so fast. Even though the goods usually cost $50, here you bought it on credit. People charge a higher price when you buy on credit. So therefore, he says, when you want to figure out oino, it's not enough to look at what the cost of the goods are if you COD. You have to look at what people charge for selling on credit. And if the price is more than a sixth off of that, you'll have a problem. In Hilchos Ribbis, it depends. In Hilchos Ribbis, it's only usur when either you say specifically it's 50 today or 60 for next year. But if you just walk in and you say, I'm selling it on credit for 60, it's fine, provided there's no shar yadua. And in the case of Mabit, there was not a clear shahr yadua. So for oino, it's not going to help. We'll figure out what the shahr is. But in Hilchos Ribbis, it's mutter. But let's put Hilchos Ribbis aside for a moment. So Zakhna Mabit, in that case, we have to compare we want to determine the value. We have to take into account the discredit. Zakhna Chavez Das and Sinukufa and Gimel, nothing doing. When you sell on credit, there's never oino. Why? Because you have the goods. And you're selling them for $70. When the person's buying on credit, you're giving him the goods today, what are you getting in exchange? Nothing. You're getting a note. He's telling you, I'll pay you $70 in 2 years. So there's exactly the nesivus. What's really happening is, there's a chalipin in it. You're trading the goods for a note. Since the halacha is on a shtar, there's no oino. No matter how much or how little you charge for the goods, you're not going to have oino, because we can look at it that the mistake or the discrepancy is that the note is being priced wrong. We don't look at it, the goods are being priced wrong, the note is being priced goods wrong. And since the note is being priced wrong and Ashtaris says no oino, Zak v'chav is das, you'll never have Hugo say no whenever you sell on credit. Right. If it's a debt and it's a shtar, okay.
Okay, it's not considered paying more than on top. Mm-hmm. It's not cash.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I hear. According to the Chavez Das. I mean, again, it's machlokes, it's my bit argues, but I hear the svara. So this is the psak of the Chavez Das. Now, based on this whole concept, that a shtar, why is there no oino by a shtar? Because it's ain gufay mamon. You're selling a paper, but since the value of the paper is not for the physical paper, it's for the debt that you can collect with it, so that will be ain gufay mamon. There's no oino. Zog the Maharit and the Erech Shai, anytime you sell something which is ain gufay mamon, there's no oino. The Maharit's case was a person, there was a business, and there was a person who had a right to get 25% of the profits. He wasn't an equity owner. That if there are no profits, he got zero. It wasn't like he owned part of the business. He had a schus to get future profits. Zog the Maharit, that schus is ain by mamish. It's ain gufay mamish. There's nothing tangible that you own. Just the right for future profits. And there, Zechem Arid, there will not be Oino. Now, it'll come out based on this, that whenever you sell a business, when a person sells a business, what is he selling? So he's selling inventory, he's selling the location, the real estate or the lease, whatever it is. He's selling the customer base, and he's selling goodwill. What is that? What's goodwill? What's a customer base? Can you touch it? Can you feel it? Is it anybody mamish? No, it has no mamash, there's no guf mamay. Therefore, based on the Maharitz, whenever you're selling a business, since it's not a physical thing, it's goodwill, it's a davar, it's an enguf imamah, it's an enbay mamish, you will not have oino on the business. Now, putting together what we said before from Truma Sadeshan, we're going to have to look at the sale. Now, as you're buying, usually when you're buying a business, a package, you're buying inventory, you're buying physical goods, and you're also paying a certain amount for the goodwill. So if you get overcharged on the inventory is a physical goods. There, clearly, there would be oino. But whatever you get overcharged on the goodwill, on the intangibles, that's an ein bei mamish, that's something that doesn't, and that's something that would not be subject to oino. So we're going to have to look at the mechira, see how much we can allocate to each part of the balance sheet, and based on that, there will only be oino on the physical goods, not on anything on the ein bei mamish. Now, just to go back to to the story that we started with, when a person is selling his chelek in olam haba, so karka, it's clearly not. On the other hand, we know olam haba is a davar ruchni. You don't have a achilu, a shetiyah, it's tzadikim, yoshvim, v'nenem, yizir ha-shchina. It's a davar ruchni. Because of that, it's ein guf ha-mamon. It's not something physical, intangible, there's no guf involved. And therefore, although it wouldn't qualify for the exception of karka, it would be included in this davar she'ein guf ha-mamon, davar she'ein bei mamish, and therefore, based on this maharit and the erech shai, it wouldn't be subject to oino. Now, even though there's no oino, the same way karka, which is excluded from oino, has bitul mecher, that if you charge more than double, or if you pay less than half, then there is a tiny of bitul mecher, you can undo the deal, even though there's no oino. So presumably, oino haba would be the same thing. Although the oino will not apply because it's ein guf ha-mamon, if you're paying less than half of its value, you still will have a problem because of bitul mecher, and they'd be able to back out of the deal. Now, another interesting case I'll just leave it as a question for now. A case of ein guf ha-mamon is what happens if you sell someone stocks, shares in a company. And there's oino. Now again, it's hard to have oino on stocks because the market is very well defined. If you sell it in the open market, that is the shah. That's what, you know, the Nasdaq will define what the shah for this is at this moment. But let's assume it's a thinly traded stock and you manage to be a penny stock, you do a little pump and dump, and you manage to be ma'ana somebody. Is there tainus oino? So when you own shares in a company, is that a gufay mamon or not? The buyer, the person who bought it. Could, I mean, whoever, you know, between the buyer and the seller. If there is a market mover, the market maker, could be he's buying and selling. So it could be that each of them would have tainus oino on the market maker. But let's leave that out for now. So what does it mean when you own a share of a company? So technically speaking, you're a partner. If you're a partner in a company, even though you're a 1 billionth, you only own 1 billionth, but if you're a real partner where you have 1 billionth of every asset that it has, so, at least to the extent that the company has physical assets, it should be a davar, which it should be gufay mamon, so it should be a real partnership, and it should be subject to oino. Now, obviously, if you're owning shares of a bank, the whole asset that the bank has are choivos, because they have loans that they lent out to other people. If the choiv itself doesn't have oino, buying a conglomeration of choivos also won't have oino. But for simplicity, let's just say you're buying shares in a real estate company, it's tangible goods. So if you look at it technically speaking, it should be a tangible goods, it should be a guf mamon, there should be oino. However, as we mentioned before, we alluded to a few times, there's a very big machlokes about stocks. How can you own shares of companies that are open on Shabbos? They sell machalos asuros, they're involved in ribbis. So there's a famous kula from the Igros Moshe that if a person just owns a few shares of a company, Igros Moshe writes, we don't look at him as a real partner, we look at him as he's just buying the rights for future profits. you're not a regular partner, you don't have the right to go in and take any of the assets. It's a schus for dividends, it's a schus for future profits. If that's the case, that's clearly a davar shelo b'olam, a davar she'ein by mamish, and in that case, it would not be subject to hilchos hayna. The iser may still apply, just like karka and shtaris and bayim by mamish, but as far as having a recourse, that you certainly would not have. Now, one last case, which is also discussed in the play scheme, is what happens if you sell a lottery ticket? Is that gufei mamon or not? So, I'll be pashtus, and most achroinim say it's ein gufei mamon. You're not paying for the piece of paper. It's the concept. It's the schus. It's the right that you have that if these numbers are picked, you'll get $1 million. It's proof, but every shtar, every time you buy debt, the reason you buy the note is the proof that you need to collect the debt. But since it's the debt that you're paying for, it's not the proof, according to most pleiskim, it's ein gufei mamon that won't be einah. There is an Aruch HaShulchan in Siman Samach Vav that says a very big chiddush. He's really bothered by how you can sell in the first place. It's an ein by mamish. And what he learns is, when you're buying a lottery ticket, you're paying for the piece of paper. And the government, whoever makes the lottery, their chiyuv is whoever holding the paper gets this, is entitled to this money. And he looks at it as if you're paying for the physical piece of paper, and therefore there are those that would like to suggest that according to the Aruch HaShulchan, it will be considered guf mamon, you're buying the paper. It's certainly a chiddush, but there is
such.
Because he's looking at a shtar. If I take your shtar without making a proper kinyan and I try to collect the debt, the debtor doesn't owe anything to me. He owes it to you. Now I stole your proof, but it's nothing. By a lottery, he's looking at it as if the lottery ticket is more than that. It's the government pays the person who's physically holding this, and therefore the paper itself has value. So for example, if you can, what would happen if you win the lottery? The ticket gets destroyed, but you can prove you're the one that bought the ticket. The way the Aruch HaShulchan's lottery has worked, they wouldn't owe you anything. Now today, again, I don't know exactly what the rules. I would imagine today, if you can prove that it was yours and it got destroyed, no? Do we have any lottery winners here? What? You can't collect? Okay. So that's that.
What about the guy who plays Vegas and he buys a lot of tickets?
What, it's gambling? Hence he does it for a parnasa? There is actually a shita that says that it's ein gufei mamon, but pashtus you are. Pashtus you're paying for. The reason why it has value, it may be because by reading it, what you're paying for is, you're paying for this physical book. The reason why you're paying for the physical book is when you read it, you will become smarter. But it's all in the book, and it's the actual book. You're not buying the person's chachma. You're buying the book itself. But there is a shita that says like that. What? That may be named by mamish. What is it? Intellectual property is, that was another shir, what intellectual property is. But even if it is recognized in halacha as something, but it's clearly not a guf mamon, it's not something tangible, you can't touch it, you can't feel it. So arguably, intellect, you know, anything like that, any software or something like that. Excuse me? Yeah, he didn't ask about buying a disk. He asked about downloading something from the internet. Now, even a disk, it's not the physical disk, it's the ability to copy it, so it probably, in that case, it would probably be in gufei mamon. Now, just to end off, and I was just, when I was, this the story about buying his olam haba, selling it for $300, I'm sure everyone here, forget about hilchos hayna, it's something which is very disturbing, how a person could imagine and even think of having the chutzpah, going over to a fry yid and taking advantage of him, and for a couple hundred dollars, convincing him to give up his olam haba. But if you think about it, that's really what the Yetzer Hara does all day. He comes to us, he doesn't ask us to sell our whole Chelek in Olam Haba at one shot. It's a little here, a little there, cut corners in this place, steal a couple dollars over here. And what we're doing is the same thing. We're partially giving up our Olam Haba for nothing. Now everyone has their own Mahalach of Avodas Hashem. Some people are inspired by Musar, some people are inspired by Hergeshim. But if you want to add another cheshbon, the Yetzer Hara's pasha be doing I know. He's ripping you off. And if we train ourselves that when we deal with other people to be sensitive to hilchos I know, to be sensitive to make sure that every deal has to be fair, they have to get their money's worth, it has to be apples for apples, and it's something when we think about our avodas Hashem also, certainly something we should keep in mind. And again, since this is my last year for the season, I wanted to wish everyone a good Ben Shiar, and thank you.